Okay, so here we go over here. Pasuk Yud. Hashem negdecha kol tavasi, before you all my desires v'anchasi and my moans mimcha lo nistara, my grievances, my anocha from before you is lo nistara, is not concealed. You Hashem are very well aware of all of my problems. Pasuk Yud Aleph libi secharchar, my heart secharchar. Now this is very hard. The word secharchar means is surrounded. Secharchar means to surround. Lashna, when you repeat, sechar means like to encircle. My heart. Now over here, the way we learned it yesterday from the Malbim means that my heart has been encircled by all of my koiches, at the time of death, a person's strength, it comes to him. Okay, we'll read the Mefarshim for more precision in a few moments, but over here basically means to say over here, my heart is fluttering. My heart is under attack. I'm about to leave this world. As
it translates
engulfed. Engulfed by what? Agony, by pain, by tsar. My heart is in a very, very bad state. It is overwhelmed by all of what is coming upon me. Azavani koichi, my strength has abandoned me. The light of my eyes likewise are not with me. Pasuk Yud-Beis, have I my friends, v'rei'ai, my relatives, mineged nigi yamoidu, they stand far away. They don't want, when I'm in this very difficult state, they don't come visit me, they don't care about me, they distance themselves from my tzaros. Ukroivai merochek omodu, and my relatives, so I take it back, oyavai means my beloved ones. Rei'ai, my friends. I guess over here we'll have some much more precision. It means there are two different types of friends. There are friends that are oyhavai, that really like me. And then there are friends that like me because they have no choice. We work together, we're in business, we daven together, we are associates, we live in the same block, we're neighbors. So they're called my rei'ai, but they're not really people who love me with sincerity. Mineged nigi yamoidu, they stand at a distance. Ukroivai, my relatives, they stand far away. Pasuk Yugimul, Vayinakshu, Mevakshe Nafshi. Now, what does it mean over here, Vayinakshu? According to the Mitsudos, it means they lie in wait. Vayinakshu, like a trap, a moikesh, a trap. They lay traps, they do things on purpose, can't wait until I leave. Those that mevakshe nafshi, v'dorshe rossi, dibru chavois, those that seek my evil, those that are seeking my tzaros, they speak ha voice. See, ha voice, that's a hard word to pronounce, it's not a hard word to pronounce, you don't know how to pronounce it. It's the vav, is just a regular vav with a cholam. The second vav is a cholam. And the reason why there's a dot is that just because the rules of grammar, but it's havois. The word havois means to speak. They speak havois umir mois. Okay, listen, first of all, the word over havois means, and this Mitzuda says, shivering. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It means they speak harsh words. The Mitzuda David says, havois means, yidabu bi divrei shivroin ruach. They say the prognosis is you're going to die very, very soon. They say words that try to break my heart. They cannot wait. David over here has enemies that are beyond belief. They're just waiting, yearning for him to go already. They speak words, umir mois, deceit, kol hayoim yegel. What yegel means, the entire day they say these terrible things. Va'ani, I, kichereish loy eshma, I. Now David, we're going to have to go soon. It's very fascinating with this psukim over here, what we say. David says that when people say these nasty things about me, I don't answer back. I keep my mouth shut. The best thing to do when a person is under attack is just to be silent. I, kichereish loy eshma, I'm like a cheresh, a deaf mute, loy eshma, I don't hear. Uchi'ilein loy yiftach piven, like a mute, I don't open up my mouth. Vo'ehi ki'isha shaloy shomea, I'm like a person that does not listen. The ain befiv toichachos. I'm like a person that has nothing want to fight back. I'm not a debater. I don't debate. I just listen. Whatever they say, I listen. I take it all in. Why? Ki lecho Hashem, into you, in you Hashem, I wait. You, Hashem, will answer my problems. I don't rely upon these people. I just put my faith in you, Hashem. This is an amazing pasuk. This pasuk over here is telling us a very powerful lesson. This really applies to the entire story of the Jewish people throughout history. And the reason why I don't respond to my enemies is because because I say to myself, I'm going to answer them back. If I'm going to answer them back, what's going to happen ultimately, what's going to happen to me at the very, very end is you have to read it backwards. It's inevitable that I'm going to slip. It's inevitable that my success will be short-lived. And if I answer back and pride myself with a powerful response, it will only be used against me later down the road, the next time I have trouble. Why? Pasuk Yud Ches is the clincher. It's like, you know, the summit of this entire thing. Ki ani litzela nachon, because my destiny in this world is to fall. U'machoiv negdi tamid, my pain is before me continuously. This is a very shocking pasuk. This pasuk over here is saying that David had a defeatist attitude. And David, who's representing Klal Yisrael, is really saying about Klal Yisrael that we're always conquered. We're always defeated. We always are you know, the underdog. We always lose. We're losers. That's what he's saying in essence. I'm a loser. Because I'm a loser, the few times in my life when I win, I cannot take pride. I cannot go have a victory lap parade, because when I will lose again the next time around, my enemies will say, oh, remember when you were marching in that parade, you were so happy that you won? Why were you marching? You're really a loser. Every success that we have, our enemies will ultimately take those success, when we stumble later on, they will look back at those successes and use them as a tool to torment us. It sounds a little strange, right? Well, after we read the Mefarshim, how the Rashi and the Mitzudos understand this, but they basically say the same thing. Okay, we're going to stop with that. We're going over these sugars now with the Mefarshim. David over here, the first section, we're going over here, Pasuk Yud. David over here is describing over here that he is in a very, very bad state. All of his friends have abandoned him. Everyone. David describes three types of friends: Oyavai, Reai, and Kroivai. All of them have abandoned him. His body is extremely weak. His heart is not functioning. So-called friends. So-called relatives. David describes his existence in a very, very, very miserable existence. And not only have they abandoned him, they're actually waiting. They can't wait for him to fall and stumble and suffer even more. And then David says, they insult me. These people insult me. And even though I have what to answer, I do have an answer that would put them in their place. I choose not to. Because if I put them in their place, it will only give them more ammunition down the road when once again I will be a loser and suffer more, because that's my fate in life. My fate in life is always to be a loser. And the few moments of good luck that I have in this world when I succeed, it's just going to be a source of ammunition for my enemies at a later point in time when I'm down to make more trouble for me. Now let's try to explain all that in much better vocabulary, with more eloquence, in more detail, as only the Mefarshim can do.
Sometimes
you
take what you say and spin it the wrong way.
100%. That's exactly what David is saying over here. Very exactly. We had to wait for Menachem Slug to come before I can make that bracha. We had to have, the right person to say amen. The right person. It's like I read about I'm very intrigued with Rav Shailami Kerestia. I'm reading this book about him, and there's a Rosh Hashanah, he's blowing the shofar, and these birds, a whole flock of birds flew into the shul. The olden days, you know, these big windows there, a whole chevra of birds flew into the shul. So the people in the shul were very annoyed. So they pushed them out of the shul, and they closed the windows, shouldn't come back into shul. And Rav Shaila got up to blow the shofar. He got to blow the shofar, and he could not get out of tekiah. No matter what he did, he could not get out of it. It's Chassidus Shemais here. Could not get out of tekiah. Nothing doing. He turned it upside down. He said, did this, did that, nothing doing. Then he said, he closed it, and he says, and he motioned to the Balabatim, open up the windows. He opened up the windows, and all of a sudden, flew into the shul, a whole chevra, a whole flock of birds. And they all came in, and they all landed on the bima. And then all of a sudden, he blew shofar, perfect, perfect, perfect. And then he went up, then he went up to the amud. And these birds, they were mamish on his shoulder. And as he walked up to the amud, and then, I don't know, it would be mafsik. He said to them, it's time for you to go now. you already got your tikkun. And they all went out the window, not never to return again. So what does all that mean? Listen, I'm not a big believer in these Chassidus Shemais Halach. All I can tell you though, I'm an eyewitness to this, and it is very, very strange. I'm an eyewitness, and I was in Torah Vadas many years ago. I used to come to Torah Vadas like a Davin Chaim, and I would come at like 9 o'clock. I'd walk in the room at 9 o'clock, and Rav Pam Zeichet Zag Levrach was leaving the yeshiva. He davened there, and he left, he went home. He went home and he came back a little bit later to give a shir. And I saw this a few times, coming there to the yeshiva about 9 o'clock, and Rav Pam was like in his office, finishing up, talking to someone, whatever it was. When he came out, there was a cat. And the cat went into the building, up the steps, to his office. My own eyes, I saw this. It was lingering there in the lobby, in that little lobby where the offices are. And then just waited for him. And then as he came out of his office, it brushed up against his legs and would not budge. And just basically brushed up against him and walked down the steps with him and walked out the door with him and went with him. And it happened a few times. And you know, cats don't get into buildings so easily. You ever see a cat in this building? Okay? I never saw a cat in Chaim, but what's the difference? How to get a cat get into the building? And this, I saw this a few times, and people always, they smirked, and they said, what in the world is going on here? And they all said the same thing, this cat must be a Gilgal. Here we go again. And it's coming, what in the world is going on here? So how did we get into this topic over here? How did we get into this topic? I don't even remember how I got into this topic.
If you don't have an explanation, say Google.
Yeah, say Gilgal. That's right. Okay, Hashem, let's go. Pasuk Yud now, one more time. Pasuk Yud, Hashem, negdecha kol tavosi v'anchosi mimcha loy nistara. Mitzudois David, on page 347. Pasuk Yud, negdecha before you call tavosi, harufua v'ha-hashket shani misav. What is David's desire in this pasuk? In this mizmor, David is describing over here that his very poor state of health. David's primary focus is good health. Everyone will tell you that if a person is not healthy, then life is not worth anything. The most important thing in life is health. You know, if you're not healthy, that's it. There's nothing to do. Good health. So David, my desire, kol tavosi, my primary goal in life is good health. Restoration of good health. Harufua, health. Hashkate, tranquility. My enemy shall leave me alone. Shani misave, that I desire. Halo hema negdecha, they are before you. Uviyotcha lasoisam, it is within your power, Hashem, to grant me good health. It is within your power to grant me peace. People shall leave me alone. Stop chasing after me. Stop trying to attack me and investigate me and do all these crazy things. V'anchosi, what does that word mean? U'mashani misanech lehischoret al avonosai, And the Rashi of Mitzudas very cleverly explains, my anchosi means my sorrow over my sins. This that I moan over my sins, loy nistra mimcha, it is not hidden from you. Hashem knows everything. Hashem knows every person's machshavas. Every thought is known by Hashem. It's one of the animamins. One of the animamins of Kodesh Baruch Hu, he knows every single person's thought. Therefore, David is saying, therefore, Hashem, you know my desire for good health and my anocha, my sorrow, I have charata about my averos. They are before you. And therefore, please heal me. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Libi Sacharchar, Libi Misoivav Biyogoin Vanocha. V'koichi Ozavoy Si V'holach Mimeni. Mitzudas learns that when it says my heart is Sacharchar. The word Sacharchar means, again, it means to encircle. And in this context, it's not to be taken literally. The way, at least the way the Mitzudas learns, it means that my heart is tormented. It's tumultuous. It's going back and forth. The word so means to encircle, but it's not, according to Rav Mitzvah, there's no circle here. It just means it's an expression. It's an expression that it is under attack. It is, my heart is under attack by aggravation. I have enemies, I have problems, I have bad health. It's under attack. Libi misayva biyagon, under siege with agmas nefesh. Libi misayva biyagon vanocha.
All sides,
right? Like you're under siege. Departed from me. Ein et loy nishara bohem. What does ein et loy nishara bohem? Now, what does that mean? Go back to the past. It says libi misachach aggravation. Azavani koychi. My strength has abandoned me. Veor einai gamhem ein et. The light of my eye ein et. I can't see. Okay, that's a very terrible curse. Not to be able to have good eyesight. Eyesight, you know, is if a person, Gemara says, it comes to Shaduchim, if the eyes of the Kala are beautiful, everything is good. Eyes, the eye is the window to the soul. When the eyes are good, everything is good. Pasuk Yibes, Oyavai v'Reyai mineged nigi yamayu. Three different types of people. Here we have the Oyavai, the Reyai, and we have the Kroivai. Mineged nigi, kishani bin nigi v'tzadi. When I am in a state of nega and tsar, yamdu mi neged, they distance themselves from me. They did not want to come to my assistance. When everything is good and well, oh, then everything is fine. But when everything is good, then yeah, let's go out to a baseball game, kiddush, let's have fun, this and that. But when I'm sick and ill, they don't want to know from me. Pasuk Gimel, Vayinakshu, worse. Now he says that his enemies are not only, they're not, that even worse, they lay traps. Vayinakshu, Mivakshay Nafshi, Mitzudas Tavon on the next page, on page 348. They lay traps. Dibru, and they speak Havois. Yidabru be Divrei Shivra and Ruach, they speak about me words, crushing harsh words. They depress me. They say terrible things. And what do I do? Now, the David over here is telling us the secret to life. When someone insults you, you just be quiet. Don't answer back. Va'ani, when they insult me, kicheresh loy eshma. I make myself like someone who is deaf, who does not hear. Uchi'ilem lo yiftach piv. I make believe I didn't hear it, and I don't respond. Mitzudos, v'ani kecheresh, or says, atzmi kecheresh, I make myself like a cheresh, ki'ilu loy eshma, as if I did not hear what they said, loy shomea, loy mevin divrehem, I don't pay attention to the next pasuk, he goes further, ve'ei ke'ish asher loy shomea, ve'ein b'fiv toy chochois, te'onois lehisvakech imohem, I don't respond, I do not engage in debate. When someone insults you, it's not kedai to listen. What do they say? They tell children, why does a person, good morning, shalom aleichem, watch your step. Why does a person have two ears? They tell this to children. It goes in one ear, out the other, like an arrow. You insult someone, someone insults you, so it goes in this ear, just let it go out the other ear. Don't keep an insult in your head.
I have a yerusha for my mother.
She used to say that. My mother, she used to say, pain now.
Same thing. Goes in one ear, goes on, insults you, goes in one, the other. Don't keep it an insult. Okay, it's often, very often, Machol will tell you this, that you're dealing with people who are nasty. They're not rational. They're not. There's nothing to talk. There's no conversation. You can't have a conversation. People that are crazy, people that insult you, they don't. You cannot reason, exactly. You cannot reason with them. You can present evidence. You can present hard facts. You can show the old. It's like you're talking to a wall. There's no one to talk to. What?
Talk to the wall.
You cannot talk. So when someone is in a state of anger, and he casts nasty insults, what are you going to get? What are you going to get out of responding to them? Reason, you're not. They're not in a state of mind where they're willing to hear an argument. They're willing to have a conversation to understand the issues. They're not. And to talk back to them, you're just going to provoke them to leave even more nasty. Someone told me yesterday that if the person is in shul, and he told me, Rabbi Maersky told this to me, he was a very good person in shul, and they made an appeal. And they say, this one's giving $1,000, this one's giving $100, $500. And then there's a guy in the shul that doesn't want to give. He's not. So the person who's doing the appeal, the person who's, take it. The person who's doing the appeal, person doing the appeal, he calls out and, you, sir, how much are you giving for this cause? So you're like, he doesn't really answer. So he says, I know about you. You have $400,000 in the bank. You have $400,000 in front of the whole shul. I know you have $400,000 in your savings account. What? And you can't give $18. You can't give $18. So the guy says back, number one, I have a lot more than $400,000 in the bank. And number two, it's none of your business. Okay? So you see, when someone is meshuggah to go in shul, in front of a whole shul, and say to a guy, you have $400,000 in the bank, you can't even give $18. Well, the guy's crazy for saying that publicly. Well, you're going to answer back, and you're going to say, I have a lot more than that, and none of your business. I don't think it's the smartest thing to respond like that. None of you is giving us sage advice. Yes, I just told you a story about the $400,000. $400,000, what's over your story? Made the appeal? $400,000, I got a lot more than that, none of your business. David over here is telling us, over here, it's keep your mouth shut. Better, the famous expression, you have to live on this expression, better let people think you're a fool than open, but keep your mouth shut. Better keep your mouth shut and let people think you're a fool than open it and remove all doubt. L'matzasi l'guv toiv m'shtika. Mila besela shtikusa betrain. Okay. Va'il ka'isha shaloshme ve'ibilim v'tochachos kilcha. Over here, David over here devotes two psukim. Two psukim how to deal with insults. He's giving us sage advice. Two psukim devoted how to deal with when someone gives insults. You be like a chereish and an ilein. You don't hear and you don't speak. And you make believe, you don't even understand. Make believe he's talking a foreign language. The ain b'fiv, and in your mouth there are no arguments. It's very interesting. The first pasuk is very two different approaches. They're totally different. Pasuk Yudalit says basically make believe you don't have a mouth and you don't have ears. Person is deaf and dumb. I don't have ears. I didn't hear. Did someone say something? Was there a sound? I want to say something. I don't have vocal cords. I can't talk. The second pasuk says no. You have what to say. I have a mouth. I have ears. But I'm gonna make believe ki ish asher lo yishma. It's a foreign language. I don't know French.
But that's not to say it's not affecting him. obviously internally he is.
So you have to know, you have to be aware of what's going on. If someone is saying things about you in public, someone is saying something, obviously the speaker who is insulting you is revealing damaging information. And you have to, of course, you have to protect yourself. You have to protect yourself. You have to know how to, in the future, how to deal with this person. You have to know how to protect yourself. But to this particular person, to this individual who speaks, who says such words of hate, who insults, to him, don't talk back to now. Now is not the time and place. David over here is giving us two psukim. There are different types of situations. Some situations, the best thing over here is to totally, totally ignore it. And sometimes, like Rabbi Michal is saying, no, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Listen. At the moment, at this particular moment, don't respond. But you better go hire a firm, a special, you speak to people who know how to respond professionally. OU was under attack many, many years ago. OU was under attack with PETA. PETA, someone did an undercover investigation. They went into a slaughterhouse with a hidden camera, and they saw how they slaughter animals. And they put the video on the internet. This was like the internet first like started up. And it wasn't so bad. I can't say it's so bad. You should go show they do by the goyim. How come Pet didn't go do what they would do by the goyim? There it's even more gruesome. It wasn't so bad, but it wasn't very complimentary. Remember this? This is like 20 years ago. Okay, it wasn't. I don't know what was so. There were much worse things, but the OU came under opened up all the anti-Semites. Came under attack. And the OU just, I think the OU responded, and their response did not made things even worse. So they hired, I know this firsthand, someone who worked in the OU told me, they paid a fortune of money, the OU, they hired a company crisis management company, who literally specializes in dealing with the media when you're under attack. They are these multi-million dollar companies all over the world who, there are scandals, there are issues, there are problems, and the media, they're in the news, and they're under attack, and there are goyish companies who professionally know what to do, how to, and they charge a nice hefty sum of money, and the OU, they hired a company, and they actually know, they guided the OU very successfully, to deal with this attack, okay, an organization like that. I know. Someone told me in the Aguda. I went to the Aguda convention this past year as a worker, tactical assistant for attorney time. So it was very interesting. I got to see the whole inside operation and what goes on behind the scenes. Derech Agav, one thing I learned: all you need in life is a walkie-talkie and a dark suit. Attorney time when I came, they gave me all the equipment. They said, here's a walkie-talkie. Here's a walkie-talkie. I said, I don't need this. What do I need this for? No. Just hold it. You're going to need it. Well, I said, okay, fine. And they gave me the whole wire thing, what they put in, like Secret Service. I don't want this. All right, fine. At least we'll have the walkie-talkie. So then I noticed that when I walked down the hall with the walkie-talkie, all of a sudden, all the doors opened up. Yes, sir. I needed to get to a certain part of this, you know, these very big these hotels, and the easiest way to get there was through the kitchen. And the kitchen, it's like, you know, this is off limits. No one walks in here. And I walk in the kitchen with the walkie-talkie. No one says a word. In fact, they open the door. And I say, I need a portion, right? All you need is to hold in your hand a walkie-talkie, and they think, who knows who you are? You're the CEO, and right away, okay. But what I'm telling you is that they would tell, that when I was there, I was watching what was going on. So this person said that 2 years ago, there was a brewing scandal. They were afraid that troublemakers would show up at the convention and basically protest. Hidden people in the audience would just start screaming in the middle and start doing crazy things, disturbing in the middle. Heckling. And heckling, right. They were really a tip that this is gonna happen, and they were on guard. And they literally had, in like where I was watching, like they had a certain like part of the PR center. They have people there ready to go on the spot, right away to give out a statement from the Aguda responding to criticism, responding to some issue, something that right away the media is going to pick up. Like yesterday, I mean, I think this is something you should really study. You should really study this. Is I mean, not yesterday they voted against the yeshivas. Right. They voted that there has to be equivalent. The yeshivas have to have an equivalent secular education as public school, which basically means they have to teach, I think, 7 hours. I don't know, these are 7 hours of secular studies, and you have to teach the woke agenda. And you have to go do this. And if you don't do it, number one, the yeshivas will lose all of their funding, which is an enormous amount of money. And number two, the parents who send their children to these schools, they are subject to penalty, including jail time. So the Aguda responded. They responded immediately. Immediately they responded. And it's very interesting. Yeah, we have to study who wrote it. I don't know. And this represents the Moetzes Gedolei Yisrael. So obviously they all had a, I'm assuming that it's a legitimate organization where they all read what the letter said, and they gave their approval. Obviously they have a professional who does this for them, who writes.
I read the report though of 142 pages, but of regulations, that I want to know.
Okay, but they have they issued a response, and the response it's I was a little bit intrigued by the response. Yeah, I'm not going to memorize it. It was just like a couple of sentences of defiance. Basically, go to... Lech Lazozel. Oh, there's a great expression. That's your expression?
No,
I never heard this before.
You know where I learned
I love it. It was Kedai to wake up today to hear that. Yeah?
What they
say. I never heard that before. I never heard that before. Lech Lazozel, a kosher version of you know what. I never heard that. Lech Lazozel. So basically the Aguda's response was Lech Lazozel. A couple of sentences, we. It was all basically Lech Lazozel. It's very, very interesting because there's no doubt in my mind 10 years ago. They would never ever respond to. They would never make such a gazera 10 years ago. They wouldn't do it. The government wouldn't do what they did.
Well, they tried being Mr. Nice Guy.
It's an incredible. We're living in a new generation, and the response of the leadership is very different. It's a whole different world today in so many different ways. You have to read it. And all the websites, the Jewish websites, they have the letter of the Moetzes Gedolei Yisrael. And just think about it. Read it slowly and just think about it. It's interesting. It's balanced, you know. It's not like a little balanced. They held back quite a bit, but still it's different than I wonder what my father would have said about this. I remember my father once something very, very similar. The OU was under attack, and in the Jewish press, in the Jewish Week, all of them, the OU put a full page ad responding. And I remember my father read it again and again, and he said, like, he was very impressed at how professional the response. Maybe it was even the New York Times. And it was a very, and my father kept on saying, they really held back. You can see how restrained they were in what they said. Like you can see the anger and the desire to say, Lech Lazozel. But this didn't hold back so much. This pushed the envelope. It went much, much further than you would expect. In any event, David HaMelech over here says something shocking. It's Mamish. He says, quiet, don't even respond. Don't even respond. Now, you can't compare what happened yesterday to David's situation. It's a whole different.
And think of what he did with Nabal.
Nabal, I'm going to kill him. But Abigail told him, don't.
Not now.
Later. He died by himself. What do you mean? What do you mean? Novel died by himself. David did nothing to Novel.
No, I'm talking about.
Shimon Geri. Who killani? Who killani? Kalala nimnetzes. He told Shlomo, "You kill him. You take care of him." But David in his lifetime did nothing to him. Okay, again, you can't compare. Those are personal matters. Okay, after also that was this over here. This is a klal matter, and here there's a certain attack. It's a whole different situation. Also, America is a very, people don't appreciate this. Many Orthodox Jews, they look at America no different than living in Poland, living in Germany. It's America, the government of America is a world to itself. It's a very different, the Constitution, rights. At least it was, exactly. It's a whole different world which people don't appreciate and because they don't appreciate the system, they allow themselves to be a victim when it's totally not necessary. The structure of the government of the United States of America, the way this country was established, was made bidafka that these things should not happen. And this, we're not living in Poland. We're not living in Germany. Those are different. Those countries. Those are really, they're not democracies. They never were, ever. They never were, then they'll never will be. Those are I don't know what you want to call them, dictatorships. They're not dictatorships, obviously, because they do have a degree of democracy. But after everything is said and done,
America is a malchus shel chesed.
It certainly is. Who's paying for the chesed? Who's paying for the 3 million people who have come? 3 million people who have illegally entered. Who's paying for a student loan cancellation? Who's paying? It's cost $1 trillion. It can cost up to $1 trillion. 20% of the country is paying. 20 million people are going to be paying for. These are shocking things. These are incredibly shocking things. In order, this is abuse of power. This is incredible abuse of power. All right, let's not get involved in this. Over here, David HaMelech. David HaMelech over here is telling us over here very powerfully. He's telling us two psukim. This incredible, incredible stuff. There are two psukim here telling a person, an individual, how to deal with insult. Insult. How to deal when someone's trying to destroy your reputation. How to deal with these very difficult situations. It's not so simple. There are two completely different psukim back to back. One is Pasuk Yudalit and one is Pasuk Tesvav. 348. Yudal Vani. Chereish loy eshma uchi ilim lo yiftach piv. The first pasuk says, David says, I am literally deaf and dumb. I don't hear, I don't talk. It totally goes over my head, like nothing ever happened. That's right, there are times. There are times when a person's under attack, just totally ignore it, it will go away. But then David says, sometimes it's not going to go away. It's not going to go away. There has to be a response. You just can't ignore it. If someone is attacking you, you just can't, you do nothing about it. You have to deal with it. So then David says, "Vo'ehi ki ish asher lo shomea," which means, I hear what they just said. I hear very well what they said. But at the moment, I'm going to make believe I don't understand. And at the moment, I have a peh. I have ears and I have a mouth. And therefore, I hear what you're saying and I have what to respond. But timing is everything. Now is not the time to respond. The time to respond there's a moment when the response is effective and there are moments when the response is even damaging. Sometimes when someone criticizes an individual or an organization, make believe you never, not totally ignore it. And sometimes no, don't ignore it. If you ignore it, you'll be finished. But you have to know when and where to respond. The second pasuk says, "V'ehi ki ish asher lo shmeh," which Metzudas David says, I hear what you said, I hear the words. I need to go home and put into a translator, get someone to translate the words for me. I don't have an argument. I have a mouth. But at this moment, I have nothing more to say. And the time will come when I will respond. And what? And ki l'cho Hashem hoicholti. David says, and what else do you need? It's just not a matter of technique. You need siyata d'shmaya. When a person is under attack, it's not enough just to know the technique, the art of when to ignore it, when not to ignore it. Timing. You need siyata d'shmaya. If you Hashem, I have hope. Atos saneh Hashem l'cho. You will be the one who will answer my cause. Mitzudas lo pasuk tes zayin. Tezayin with Sudois David, page 348. Ki lucha, ki because ki imtanti olecha. I waited for you, Asher ata sane lochem ba'avuri. You Hashem will answer on my behalf. With son of Lema tasi madi ois l'toyva v'sechoshev l'shuva nitzachas. He's saying over here something very, very different. He's saying over here that sometime maybe it's a whole different idea. What he's saying over here is that David said, I'm going to be quiet, and Hashem will respond on my behalf. Now, when did this happen in David's life? David's enemies never gave up their entire life. They cursed him. They told him that he was nichshol in Eishes Ish. They told him that he's a mamzer. Shlomo's a mamzer. Not Shlomo, I can't be Shlomo's mom, but David, he married an Eishes Ish, Bathsheba. They never stopped. When would these people put to shame and their faces turn black like the bottom of a pot? Was when Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash and he brought in the Ohr HaKodesh, we've learned this so many times, and the doors refused to open, and Shlomo Melech argued with the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, please open up your doors. Let the Aron enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And nothing worked. Every segula, they blew shofar, they did this, they did that. They said, Shemois, nothing worked. Until Shlomo said, Ba'avur David Avdecha. Al toshev p'nei Mishichacha. When they said, Ba'avur David Avdecha, miraculously the doors opened. Chazal said, that moment in time, the faces, the skin of the enemies of David turned black like the bottom of a pot. This is a fulfillment of what it says here in this pasuk. Ki l'cho to you Hashem hoicholti. I yearn and I wait. Atos sa'aneh, you will answer the insult, the insults of my enemies, Hashem elokai, you will answer them. How will Hashem answer them? Not with words, but with signs, oisais. That in the case of David, the sign was, it was the doors opened up, the miracle. Hashem speaks a different language. And in David's case, the miracle of Ba'avur David Avdecha, this was an open rebuke to all of David's enemies. However, it took a long time for this to happen. David was no longer living. David was now vindicated by Hashem himself, but after he already died. How many times in history do we have stories like this where people die, they leave this world with a bad reputation, and many, many years later, things change, or just the opposite, people leave this world with a very good reputation, and years later, when people go back and they study what happened, they change their mind, they have a whole different attitude. Roosevelt, okay, Roosevelt, Jews, they worship Roosevelt. Right, the famous joke. There is right. this. How does it go in Yiddish? There's Disvelt, Yenevelt, and Roosevelt. And now Roosevelt is under enormous attack. Many of the historians today, the Jewish historians today, they look back at Roosevelt and they don't like what they see, and they're not enamored by him. There are still people that there are still people who are his fans.
CBS is having a show now next week, Sunday, yes. Monday. About 8 hours.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to flesh out that, you know, we think the United States was so nice during World War II, you know, for the Holocaust, and it's going to tell a different story.
It's going to ruffle a lot of feathers.
Okay, a lot of, and look, even now this year, 21 years after 9/11. 21 years after 9/11. You know, in the news, you pay attention, there are a lot of questions about 9/11.
Yep.
And for 20 years, every year, when it first happened, no one would open their mouth. No one would open their mouth, ask questions. What's really going on over here? What? Not a word. myself included, totally brainwashed, like you know, conspiracies. And now, you know, 21 years later, people calm down, and they're not afraid. They're not afraid to open their mouth and ask questions. There are a lot of questions that need to be answered. A lot.
The New York Times and Times articles of what happened about the Jews were put it in the areas where people would look. There was one
right, the Holocaust.
They were buried.
So when time passes, David, it's over here, David, he had enemies. When he died, they were making litzons of him. But yet, when Shlomo HaMelech, it took many, many years until this happened. And then David was vindicated. Time with Mashiyase HaAzman Lo Yase HaSeichel. Time creates, opens up a whole new world. People's biases and people's... Time has a dynamic... It's not just heals. Time has a dynamic which changes everything. It changes everything for people to look at back. And David over here, David asks for a sign, and he writes over here, this is a very powerful word. Ki l'cho Hashem hoicholti. I wait. Hoicholti, according to the Mitzudos, doesn't mean I hope. And look in the Mitzudos Siyon. It's a very important word. Hamtana. Wait. We have to wait. You have to wait. You think things don't happen overnight. When people have arguments, people have what to say, and you know, it's not the narrative of what's happening now. You have to wait. You have to wait for people to calm down, to relax, their minds to be able to open up and be able to be receptive to listen, to have a conversation, to discuss the issues. And David's what?
They
even know the facts. There are so many times that people know the facts. Like we always joke, don't confuse me with the facts. They're biased. They're biased. I know the facts. I don't care. I know the facts. A person that's negios. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose my reputation. And it's just too complicated. Now is not a good time. Sometimes there are legitimate reasons why you don't want to be bothered with the facts. Sometimes not. But when time passes, it creates a new dynamic where things are reevaluated in a different light. Yeah.
They twist it around.
Right now, I mean, they can twist it around later on also. You know, it's a two-way street. Yeah. It's a two-way street. There can be things that are totally true. And with the passage of time, you cover up, you whitewash it. You whitewash it. I'll tell you an example. This is like, my grandfather was a Rashiv in RJJ. And there was something which happened. I'm not going to tell you the story now. There was something which happened on a Shabbos Kiddush, the very end of when the yeshiva closed down. It's a humorous story. Not a humor, it's an interesting story, but not for now. So at this event, when the yeshiva closed down, how many people were there? So someone told me who's there, he thinks about 15, 20 people, the most, were present when this happened. And so my brother, and include men and women, and Shabbos, Kiddush, and they were sitting mixed. It was 15 people! They were elderly, most of them were elderly people. Probably the person, they were about 15, 20, let's say 20 people. They were sitting at a Shabbos Kiddush in the yeshiva after davening, probably two, three tables. How many people is it? Two, three tables. They were sitting, men and women together. Okay, men and women together. Maybe the women sit on one table, men on the other table. Okay, dealing over here with Holocaust survivors. So there was something very interesting that happened at Kiddush. And it involved a woman. A woman, she went and she got a little excited and she I wouldn't say she cursed out someone, but she said something very strong in response to someone. So someone told my brother yesterday, he says he met this person and I heard about the story in the RJJ, what happened, and this person said something. And this woman from the other side of the mechitza called out. I said to my brother, this woman from the other side of the mechitza, she called out, "What mechitza? What mechitza?" There were 15, like he made it sound like there were 100 people sitting in the dining room, 100 people, and there's the man on this side, and the woman on that side, and there was a man giving a speech, and a woman from the other side of the mechitza shouted out. I thought, what are you talking about? There were 20 people. There were 20 people. There was no mechitza. They were sitting mixed. And a man said something, and the woman responded. You see what goes on? With the passage of time, people fantasize, and they make up things that don't exist. So Mr. Marillis, it goes both ways. It goes both ways. You have facts and truths, and when time passes, people make up babamises.
Remember the official and Fredel books, when they first came out, they showed a picture of Tashlich on the Lower East Side. On the east of the drive, they showed him a pizza on the drive between the men and the women. It was so funny. My father was looking at it. We were hysterical.
On the other hand, like David over here is saying, on the other hand, and there, this is probably more common, yes, is when there's a crime and there's a cover-up, and when you present the facts, don't confuse me with the facts. David over here is the victim of exactly this. Over here, they accuse me of doing terrible, terrible things. There's no one to talk to. No one wants to look at the facts and deal with the situation. David says, we need time. When time will pass, then it will be a different story. Hashem will vindicate me. Se'u sh'arim roshechem v'inasu pischei olam. David indeed was vindicated. Okay, let's go further. Now here we go to the, this is the meat. This is the meat of this section. This is really shocking stuff here. And David now says, Ki amarti. David says now, why? I said to myself, Pen yismuchu li b'moid ragli olai higdilu. Now this is a very, very difficult pasuk to understand. And it certainly is not the attitude of the people who are macho and very self-confident. This pasuk, as we said when we started today, is like a defeatist attitude. Look at the mitzudos David. Yizayin, Ki amarti. Ritzoinoi loimar. Whenever the Mitzudoi says Ritzoinoi loimar, you have to stop, come to a full stop. A full stop. He's going to inject into the pasuk. He's going to inject into the pasuk words that it does not say, and spin the pasuk in a creative way. Ritzoinoi loimar. Hinei. Loi chafatzi ani lohashiv molohem. These individuals insulted me. I had what to answer. I had what to say to them, but I made a decision not to speak up, not to say anything. Why not? Ki amarti I said, pen tiskaber olai ha'inesh. Maybe pen tiskaber olai ha'inesh v'yismuchu oid yoiser. Maybe I will be punished even more. Very strange. What do you mean to be punished? David over here said that the reason why they are insulting me is because of my sins, and I'm being punished. If I'm going to speak up now and respond to them, Hashem will increase the punishment. Shocking what he says. The yismuchu oid yoyster, and it will give them greater satisfaction, more joy, in witnessing when they witness that I'm suffering, the intensity of my suffering. Ki be'es mota ragli, when my feet falter, levad higdilu atzmam, ki be'es mota ragli, levad higdilu atzmam lehiskaos olai. I don't know the word levad means in this expression. When I stumble, they will reemerge. If I stumble again, they will reemerge and they will intensify their insult. And what's going to be then if my entire body suffers? In other words, right now, I still have a few limbs that work. I may be missing an arm and a leg, but the other one is still there. I may be missing some internal organs, but there are things that still function. What's going to be if Hashem gets more angry at me and he shuts down my entire body? Then my enemies will come back and they'll say, you see? You see, we were right. You see, we were right. One second over here. So now let's just read one more pasuk, and then we'll come back and explain these two pasukim together. And this is really, really shocking, the next pasuk, even more so. Ki ani litzela nochoin. Nochoin means I am, it's like my destiny in this context. My destiny in this world is to suffer. The word litzela means to limp, to limp. Yes, so vayiga bekaf yirechoi. Al Yaakov Avinu, after the Malach of Esav hid him in the thigh, he was limping. The word hikyani litzela nochoin, my destiny in my life is to suffer, and therefore it is inevitable that I'm gonna stumble again. And if I'm now gonna talk up to them, you have to look at the psychology here. I have what to say. If I respond and put these people in their place, they're going to be hurt. They're going to be hurt. Oh, he insulted us. He spoke back to us. There was an editorial in all the newspapers where he responded and he said some very sharp, harsh criticism, and he put us in our place, and we were demoralized. We were hurt. Then, fast forward a year later, when David suffers defeat, then the people who he humiliated are going to come out of the woodwork and they're going to attack him with a greater intensity. If you beat up someone, you pound on someone, and they're humiliated, they're just going to wait for the next opportunity. And when that next opportunity comes around, they are going to attack with a greater intensity than they would have otherwise because of the humiliation they suffered when David showed them up. So look at the cycle. David has enemies. They don't like him. People don't like David. David now, he suffers a minor defeat. A minor defeat. So his enemies come out of the woodwork. Oh, David, look what happened to you. Good for you. You deserve it. You're a bad person. You did terrible averos. You were nichshol and eshes ish. So David says, I have two options. I can put them in their place. I can respond, put them in their place, humiliate them, or I can be quiet. Now, if I put them in their, if I'm quiet, I gave them, they insulted me. If I put them in their place, I will win now. I will win this battle. But the war is not over. If I put them in their place, I'm gonna win this battle. I'm gonna humiliate them and they're gonna be bruised. But I know in my heart that I'm gonna lose the war. Because that's my destiny. My destiny is to be a loser. In life, in this world, until Mashiach comes, we always lose at the end. And when I lose the next battle, then the enemies that I humiliated today, they're going to come attack me with a vengeance that we have never seen before. So therefore, it's smart. It's just a devar chochma, a zehu chochem horoye es hanoilad, not to respond. Let my enemies win this battle. Let them have the satisfaction of insulting me for my own good. Because since in the future I'm going to lose many, many more battles in the future, I don't want to go and give them ammunition or to psych them up to that they should attack me and when I'm defeated later on to torture me. It's just in my own best interest not to put them in their place in this instance because I know what's coming down the road. If I know that in the future I will never be defeated, I'm going to be a winner, I'm never going to suffer defeat, then that's right. Right now, you lose. You're insulting me. I'm going to put you in your place. I'm going to knock you out. I'll never have to deal with you forever and ever again. But being that I do know that in the future I'm going to have to deal with you, and I'm going to suffer, and if I'm going to insult you now, you're going to be hurt. And in the future, you're going to want to come and attack me. You'll attack me with a vengeance that I can't deal with. Therefore, David says, it's not in my best interest to respond. Let my enemies have the pleasure of of feeling that they have insulted me, that let give them the hana, the satisfaction of knowing that they have insulted me. Now, in this expression, David is saying something very, very shocking. That a Jew, David here represents the neshama of Klal Yisrael, lives with a defeatist attitude. Okay, it says that ki ani litzela nochoin, I am destined to limp my entire existence. Rav Mordechai, good morning, shalom aleichem. And umach oivi negdi tamid, my pain and suffering will be with me forever. Look at the mitzudos David pasuk yud ches. The mitzudos David says litzela nochoin ani muchan. Let's go back to Pasuk Yud Zayin. Go back to Pasuk Yud Zayin in the Mitzvah David. Ki amarti ritzon eloi mar hinei loichafas eni lochashiv molim. I do not want to respond to the insult. Ki amarti, I said to myself, pen tiskaber olai ha'inish, because maybe in the future Hashem will punish me more. My destiny is to be punished. Hashem will punish me more later on. And when Hashem punishes me more later on, it will just give them the ammunition, now that they have been insulted, to have more joy over my suffering. The yismuchu oid yoiser, ki be'es mater raglai, at the time when I falter again in the future. Levad, I don't know what that word levad here is doing. Higdilu atzam liskoyes olai, and then they're going to lord over me even more. They're going to take pride over my defeat even more. What's going to be if I'm totally incapacitated? Because I know in the future, my crystal ball, I see that my destiny is to suffer. It is my destiny to limp from my weakness, the hadvarim amachivim, I see things, my ailments, my chronic ailments, I see hema mizumanim tamid negdi lavoyalai, it's a guarantee that it's going to come. Okay, so this is a really fascinating insight into
the... Is that the voice saying, or it's a
nevuah? I guess it's both. Everything that comes out of David is a nevuah. And we have to appreciate that David represents the neshama of Klal Yisrael. And according to the Mitzvah, and Rashi Kamat is the same exact thing, we'll read Rashi in a moment, is that David is saying an incredible chiddush, that Klal Yisrael has to appreciate Ma'isa Avay Sim Labanim. When Yaakov Avinu, he met Esav, and they fought the whole night, Vayavik Imay Adalis HaShochar. Vayavik Ish Imay Adalis HaShochar. Vayomer Shalcheni Kiol HaShochar. And then it says, Vayiga Bekaf Yirechoy. And Al Kain Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael Zgir HaNoshe. And Yaakov Avinu, when he went back, he was Soileya Al Yerechoy. This is Maise Ovoy Simin Labanim. That Klal Yisrael for the remainder of their existence in Golis is included in Maise Ovoy. That Soileya Al Yerechoy. We are injured. And David over here says, Kani litzela nochoin, he's referring back to Yaakov Avinu, being tzoleya al yirechai. Our destiny is always to be in a very difficult situation. And therefore the Musar Haskel is, that in the few times in our history when we have success, and we are under attack, and we have the ability to crush our enemies, don't. Don't. Why? Because we have to appreciate that our success is only temporary. We are destined to fail and to suffer again. And if we are going to gloat over our enemies and put them in their place with an intensity, their hatred for us will just intensify. And there will be opportunities for them to take revenge. That's what it means. There will be opportunities, and when they will take revenge, it's the humiliation of their defeat in our hands will come back, and it will come back to haunt us. This is not the way any nation in the world operates. There is no nation in the world that thinks like this. Every nation in the world, when they have an opportunity to defeat their enemy, they take advantage and they knock out their enemy with a knockout punch. And they don't say, oh, what's going to be in the future? We're destined to fall and suffer. Ridiculous. Once we have succeeded, we are going to be supreme on top of the world forever and ever. The only nation in the world that is told that your success is short, is going to be only short-lived. And Ezeo Chochem Horoya Es Hanoilat. Know that in a short time, your enemy is going to prevail upon you once again. And the humiliation that you bring upon him now is going to come back and haunt you. So don't. If you're enjoying success, if you have what to respond, don't overdo it. Just do what you need to do to survive. Don't crush your enemy to an extreme, because it's only going to come to haunt you, because you have to understand this pasuk, ani letzila nachoin u'machavi negdi tamei. This is, if this is not profound and shocking, what it says here in this mizmor, then I don't know what is. This is an incredible look at Jewish history, not just the past, the present, and the future. And instructions and an attitude how to deal with success in battle, or you know, political success, or any type of success. One of, you know, Lahavdil Elif Alf Elf, one of Trump's biggest problems is that when he wins, he crushes his enemies into smithereens. And unfortunately, when Trump is down, dude, they come for blood. Okay? I mean, you know, some of the things that came out of his mouth when he was successful, it echoes in the minds of his victims. And when they have an opportunity, we see it every day in the news, whoo, they're just let loose. They come back for blood. And this is a this is mamish what it says here in Tehillim. Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, don't, when you win, be gentle. Why? Because you're gonna lose. You're destined to lose many, many times in the future until Mashiach comes. Okay, this pasuk is a shocking, it's almost like a defeatist attitude. I don't know if you take the defeatist attitude, but it is a shock. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we'll do the Rashis and Olam Mefarshim. Try to finish up. Take a short break. I want to learn some more in Yonim about Rosh Hashanah.